The first home that I ever bought was in foreclosure, and the previous owners had expressed their frustration by vandalizing the house on their way out the door. They disconnected some of the wiring to the electrical outlets and the air conditioner, spray painted some of the walls with graffiti, and dumped pots and pots of coffee all over the carpeting. Because cash was tight with all of the painting and moving and closing costs, my plan was to do my best to clean the carpets and then live with the stains as long as I could handle them. Thank goodness my mother owned a carpet cleaner because I ended up cleaning those carpets at least a dozen times. They were so nasty, but I was scared of what I would find underneath, and so I just scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed some more, and finally resigned myself to enduring the ugly stains. I knew that the carpets were clean, and resigned myself to waiting to tear them out until I had saved enough money to refinish the floors that were under the carpets. As luck would have it, there ended up being plumbing issues that needed to be addressed that year. I needed a new roof the first spring after I moved in. And so it ended up being years before I was able to pull up those carpets. When time finally came, I took a couple of days off work, moved everything out of the dining room, bought a bunch of spare blades for my utility knife, and went to town. Wouldn't you know that the floors underneath that ugly, stained, bright aqua carpeting were in decent shape? They still could use to be refinished, but they were nice. They were presentable, much nicer than that awful aqua stained carpet that I had endured for years. As I cut the carpet down the middle, rolled it into chunks, and scraped up the crumbling foam pad below, all I could think of was how gross that carpet was, along with everything that it carried with it, all of the dust mites and dead skin cells of who knows what else from the previous owners. All of this is to paint a vivid picture of the idea of sweeping something under the rug. We've all done it. We decide not to deal with someone's behavior, even though it's troublesome. We disregard warning signs for the sake of keeping the peace. Heck, I even found myself literally sweeping crumbs under the rug once this summer when my mother-in-law called to say that they were in the neighborhood and wanted to drop by. Sweeping things under the rug is about hiding a mess, as in the visit from my mother-in-law. But even more, it's about not dealing with something now. It's about putting things off. And pushing our inevitable reckoning somehow down the road. Eventually, I had to find a dustpan and sweep up the crumbs. Eventually, I had to pull up that nasty carpet from my dining room. And eventually, if we're going to be healthy and have rich, meaningful relationships, we have to deal with the conflict and discord among us that's so tempting to sweep under the rug. So I ask you, what are some of the things that you tend to sweep under the rug? What do you avoid engaging? And here's where we go deep. What in yourself needs to heal so that you don't avoid these things any longer? In the examples that I gave, I needed to stop fearing that I couldn't deal with what was under the stained carpet, needed to get over the fact that getting to the hardwood would mean dealing with decades of other people's dust mites. And I need to stop looking for my mother-in-law's approval. The Dalai Lama is quoted as saying, "Many people today agree that we need to reduce violence in our society. If we are to truly be serious about this, we must deal with the roots of violence, particularly those that exist within each of us. We need to embrace inner disarmament, reducing our own emotions of suspicion, hatred, and hostility toward our brothers and sisters." For many of us, this practice of inner disarmament is developing the courage and right judgment to speak the truth with love, especially when it's tempting to sweep things under the rug. Today's gospel is one of those rare passages that is direct and to the point. And yet, even in its simplicity, many of us find it difficult to implement. If you have a problem with someone, talk to them one-on-one. And if they listen, your relationship is reconciled. It's restored. The passage goes on to advocate for step-by-step progressive escalation when dealing with conflict. Talk first with one person, then bring in a third party, then address in a group setting, and it culminates in treating the individual as a Gentile or a tax collector. And of course, we know what Jesus did with Gentiles and tax collectors. He sat down and invited them to dinner and ate with them and became closer to them by understanding who they are. In some ways, it's oddly comforting that Jesus addresses being conflict avoidant in the Bible, telling us that brushing interpersonal difficulties under the rug isn't a modern phenomenon. This is part of the social dynamics that have been going on in human interactions for millennia. But once we get beyond this biblical schadenfreude, committing ourselves once again to healthy patterns of communication, including not sweeping things under the rug, is a godly, faith-filled way of being. Giving and receiving honest feedback is critical in being able to be in relationship, in building God's beloved community. Not just a clique of people who think in lockstep with one another. Eric Barreto of Princeton Theological Seminary points out, to be clear, this is no mere handbook for resolving conflicts. Simply following this order of confrontation will not ensure a result consonant with God's hopes. It's not as simple as just moving through these steps. We know that the mechanics of decision-making do not always reflect our values. Checking off these duties step by step will not guarantee a decision rooted in God's love for us. The process could be so easily co-opted by selfishness and dislike and so many human frailties. Instead, what matters here is the concern for the other and the community embedded in the steps. And this is really where the intersection of our two passages today gives us synergy. While the passage from Matthew 18 teaches us to be direct in our dealing with conflict and not to sweep things under the rug, the passage from Romans reminds us that's God's rule of love of neighbor as of self, must be our central motivator. It must be how we engage one another. Amidst our current context of COVID and systemic racism in our collective consciousness more than ever, Moravian theologian Audrey West points out that the process of truth-telling and accountability enjoined this passage best takes place with careful attention to the church's call to protect the disempowered, vulnerable, walking alongside in solidarity as they speak up about the harm that they have experienced. Friends, Jesus' call to good communication and interpersonal interaction may seem simple, but all of us have known the destructiveness of hushed conversations, of hiding and avoiding, of refusing or being unable to speak honestly, of molehills becoming mountains because of being swept under the rug. A host of NPR's On Being, Krista Tippett, reminds us that truth can be told in an instant, forgiveness can be offered spontaneously, but reconciliation is the work of lifetimes, even generations. Our project of in a life of faith is to strive toward reconciliation. And so my prayer, not just for this instant or for the coming weeks, but for our lifetimes, even for generations, is that we will be able to build deeper, stronger, more godly relationships by having the courage not to sweep things under the rug, but rather to speak the truth in love. May it be so.